Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch here on LA Talk Radio. Internet's most interesting, irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk radio station. And welcome to the couch, as you always are this time, Friday. Well, we're here on the West Coast, 11 in the morning, in beautiful downtown Los Angeles. And I have some great guests, as always today, and a great subject, too. And I always invite you to call in and or email me. Right now, the email line is open. If you want to go for it, right here at the radio station, it's straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. And, of course, you'll want to ask some questions. Everybody wants to ask questions about what we're talking about today. Because I can't tell you how many times that my girl and guy clients, patients, tell me that they don't feel sexy, no matter what age. They're just not feeling it, right? Everybody's scrambling to look sexy or be sexy or come off or feel good about themselves. And, you know, some of the common reasons they tell me is that because their body issues. Yeah, guys, a lot of guys have their body issues, too. Every day I see this. It's like, oh, I don't think I'm this enough or I'm not that enough. And you know, they're comparing themselves with all the hot bodies out there on the internet. Or, of course, a lot of women have body issues, too. We have to be all looking like Taylor Swift. Isn't that right? Sometimes we feel so overwhelmed from work. You know, we're working 10-hour days. These days, right? We're focused. We're out there. And, you know, they just feel overwhelmed from life in general. Maybe they've been rejected. And they kind of feel it's scary to go out there and try again. And they don't feel sexy about themselves. They don't feel wanted or desired and all that. Well, today, that's what we're talking about. We're going to get you into some feeling good about you. A little more sensuality in your life. Accessing your masculine and feminine energies. Letting go of that sexual shame. Oh, yeah, you say, I don't have sexual shame. Yes, you do. It's in your subconscious. I see it. I know it. And how to kind of get off your butt and get into your body. You know what I'm saying? And that's true. We got to get moving. And connection with your sexual energy is really important, too. These and more subjects we are covering today with my special guests, who are authors of an amazing book that you're going to want to pick up to help you get up and off and get into some sexual healing and feel good about yourself. The book's called The Soulmate Lover, A Guide to Passionate and Lasting Love, Sex, and Intimacy. It's Mallie Apple and Joe Dunn, awesome authors, lecturers. They're amazing. They're relationship coaches. Actually, they're lovers and best friends, too. The best combination. They know what they're talking about. And, of course, they have another book that was amazing, sort of the kicker for this. But they have lots of other books we're going to be talking about. But it's basically about relationships. Their first book, The Soulmate Experience, helped thousands of people around the world create relationships that are connected on all levels, emotional, intellectual, sexual, spiritual. And this book today we're talking about is getting in touch with a little more sexual healing, as I would say, and they say for yourself. So welcome to the show, guys. So nice to have you here.
Hi, Michelle.
Hey, Michelle. Nice to be here.
Hey, you know what? This is a good book. You're so cute. We were talking earlier. You said you actually read the book. Yeah. Come on now. I'm gonna put down a book that says passion, lasting love, sex, and intimacy. Hell no. This is really good stuff.
So thank you for that. Well, I'm so glad to hear that. You know, I was talking at the beginning of the show. At one time or another, most of us actually have wished we felt more attractive or more desirable or sexier than we do. And one of the first things that you point out is that feeling sexy is a state of mind. So what do you guys mean by that?
You know, when we first started working on this book and I started talking to people about what makes you feel sexy, and more often than not, I would get the answer, nothing.
I think I even had a blank look on my face when she first asked me.
Oh, really?
Shocking to me, right? This culture is teaching us all the time, you need to be feeling sexy, and people are saying they're not? What's going on? Where's the disconnect?
Right.
And it really, I was walking with my editor, the woman who edits our books, on the beach, talking about the concepts for the book, and this is one that came up, and she said, yeah, nothing. And I said, hold on a second. Your feet are in the sand right now. It's warm. You've got a pair of really nice-fitting jeans on. The sun's on your skin. There's a little breeze in the air. And she looked up, and she goes, oh, I kind of get what you're talking about, like focusing on just those things, the way you're feeling.
Yeah.
Oh, I can feel there's some sexiness in this sensual, you know, physical body
of
mine.
Right.
And we're so used to taking direction from, you know, external sources like, you know, society and the media.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. We're too focused on trying to look steady, sexy instead of focusing on, what feels sexy to me?
Yeah. What's coming from within?
Well, that's cool. I love that. And you know, we're not talking about, and everybody goes to, you know, their body parts or the sexual stimulation, you know, and all that. It's like, no, you guys, we're not focusing on that. We're just, we have bodies. That's why we came here to experience the sensuality.
Right. So if you're outside and you just close your eyes to shut down one sense, it heightens your other senses. Then you can really pay attention, like, what's happening with my skin right now?
Does that mean that I have to close my eyes when I have sex with my husband? Is that no?
Oh, not half.
Just kidding. Just kidding.
But
that was a little.
To once in a while.
That was a very sick joke. I'm sorry. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, we are totally focused on what's wrong.
Yeah.
And we just obviously the culture. We've been conditioned to focus on what's wrong, but we get in these habits. We look in the mirror and our eye immediately goes to the things we don't like and assesses them. And we've got to find ways to break out of those habits.
Right. And you guys talk about stepping into a sexy state of mind. I saw a rerun of Austin Powers last night. Oh, my God. Every time I think, you know, I'm sexy, baby, I just think, he's got it. He's got something going on, you know. But he has to tell people. That's the problem, you know.
Sometimes that works.
Well, I guess you're right, and we'll talk about
that. Fake it till you make it, I am.
There you go. That's right.
Let's all say that together.
Yeah.
I am so sexy.
I am so sexy. That's today's affirmation, folks. But
one of the things we've been talking about recently, we've put out a bunch of videos on our channel about this, is just having conversations that are of a sexy/sexual nature can help get you in that state of mind. So Joe and I are just going on there, and we're just picking topics like talking about the first time we fell in love, talking about, you know,
our first sexual experience.
Yeah, with each other, and just having those conversations with, if you don't have a partner, with a friend.
Yeah.
They are edgy. They put you into a vulnerable place, but there's also a place where you can tap into those feelings of feeling sexy. Vulnerability is a part of it.
Boy, is it ever. And, you know, a lot of us have hang-ups, you know, about that, obviously, because I have a large amount of folks who come and see me who really are fearful of vulnerability. And, you know, so you guys really do have a lot of psychological tools in here, as well as sensual tools, which I really appreciated, to help break down some of those fears, you know.
Right. And those fears and those vulnerabilities and those places where we carry shame or are just uncomfortable with various aspects of our bodies or our sexuality, those really, in a strong relationship, they can become places of so much connection when we can share and heal those together.
God, it's so true. It's great. By the way, guys, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. My special guests today are authors of a book called The Soulmate Lover, A Guide to Passionate and Lasting Love, Sex, and Intimacy, Mally Apple and Joe Dunn, and they're amazing authors, speakers. Actually, they're relationship coaches. They've written a lot of books, you know, about lasting love and intimacy and just how to have good relationships in general. So I'm going to tell you how you can find out more about them and pick up their books. They're all really good. This is book two in the Soulmate Experience. I like to say that, Soulmate. You guys want to email me? There are a couple of email questions coming in already, and we can get to you in just a little bit, but I want to find out more about you know, just how to define sexuality. But you guys can email me at straighttalkdoc. Forgot who I am. straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Come on down. So, okay, everybody has their own idea of sexuality, right? And what's sexy. I mean, we all do. But how do you guys define sexuality?
Well, you know, interestingly enough, Michelle, I came from the vast majority who had a very limited view of what sex is,
yeah.
Right? For most of us, sex is intercourse and a few things around that, right?
Right.
Well, in meeting Molly, she's totally changed my perspective, and as everybody that she comes across, sexuality to her is this huge spectrum of experiences and ideas, and it is just blown my idea of what is sex out of the water.
Wow.
Because you know, when I started looking at what Molly's definition of sexuality then I came to see that we were having sex all the time.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's a good thing.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
It's great. It's such a great eye-opening thing to see that, you know, there's so much to the word sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure Molly will.
Right. And so, you know, if you're in a partnership or with somebody, just experimenting with things like having sex, in quotes, without genital contact, having it without taking your clothes off, and just exploring what could that possibly mean to us? Because I think the exploration of what sexuality is what's key here. And so I don't even have a definition at this point.
Yeah.
You know, when you start asking people, you get very, very narrow ideas. And,
well,
and to try to expand those into any direction that feels like to you, like, oh, I get it. So just having this really sensual hug with someone, my partner, could last for, you know, 20 minutes and turn into something that feels incredibly sensual and connecting and sexy. And who's to say that's not sex?
Right. Well, that's true. I mean, it's all about, you know, intimacy and feeling good. You don't have to start getting, you know, turned on. Well, you can, and that's great.
Well, yeah.
It leads to that.
Yeah.
But
you can do that over the phone.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. That's right. But, I mean, that's right. That's part of it is just that intimacy and hugging and just really long connections and things like that. So, you know, finding our sensuality, as you say, starts with the senses. And
yeah,
no pun intended, but that makes sense. I mean, it really does. So
yeah.
What are some of the other ways that we can make the most of our sensory experiences?
Sensory experiences. I mean, even just sharing a mango can be an incredibly sensual experience.
Especially if you're feeding each other.
I like
maybe
that.
Maybe doing it in the shower.
Okay, let's elaborate on this. This is good. I'm writing these notes down here. Okay.
How many senses do we have? Do we have involved when we're sharing a mango in the shower?
That's right.
and paying attention, which is the most important ingredient here, is paying attention to what you're feeling, smelling, tasting, hearing.
Right.
And giving yourselves opportunities that you're really kind of dedicated to. Wow, we might go out and buy the most sensual foods we can buy and come home and play with them.
Yes, exactly. Oh, that's a good thing. I love that. Real quick question, talking about paying attention. You know, you said, let's pay attention to what we're doing. But and I know you guys have worked with so many people throughout the years, but a lot of women I talk to tell me that sometimes they're not into it. And I'm not talking about eating the mango in the shower necessarily. I'm talking about, you know, they just get lost in thought while making love. There's what the old joke, Molly, about how we're counting the dots on the ceiling when we're on our backs. You know, we're not into it. Right. But looking at our nails, I need to go to the. Go ahead. You know, whether it's things like being concerned about our bodies or things we have to do hanging on to an argument that we've had with our partners.
Right.
You know, we do that more than men. So how can we teach ourselves to just sort of let go of worries and other negative self-patterns and be more present, you know, like paying attention, just focusing on the now.
We talk a lot about different ways to do that, and different things work for different people at different times.
Yeah,
the very first thing is just that awareness of when your mind is taking you out of the experience. Here's one trick that I love, which is a lot of people just can't turn the mind off.
Right.
It sort of has its own a mind of its own.
Yeah.
And being able to say, okay, my mind is just going to do something, so let's give it something to do in the process. So it might be, okay, mind, I want you, and I'm just making this off the fly here, I want you to pay attention to all the sounds that we're making right now. And the differences in all those sounds. If you just give it something to do, simple like that, at least it has a role.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you could come up with, I want you to come up with a sexy word for me to focus on right now.
And
instead of trying to just shut it down, sometimes that helps.
I like that. That really does help. It's kind of like just really being creative. And don't guys have a more of an advantage? I mean, you know, Joe, come on. You guys are more imaginary. You have, you know, you're just more in tune physically, right? You're action-oriented. You're very visual. Don't you guys have the advantage over women women who are emotional and thinking things? And right? Am I off on that?
I'm not sure it's an advantage.
Yeah.
In fact, it you know, if most guys are the way you describe them, it might be a disadvantage to the woman, right?
Yeah.
If he's ready to go and she's not.
Yeah.
You know, so it seems like there might be a little bit of blending that needs to go on for both people to have a great experience.
Right.
Instead of the guy just being the guy and, you know, the woman going, hey, okay, you're ready, but I'm not.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What would you do, Joe?
What's that?
In that situation in general, what would you do as a guy? Like, you're ready to go, and she doesn't seem ready to go.
I think I'd back up and maybe, you know, start with something else. Take it a little bit more slowly and work our way into it.
Like what?
Well, we might have to, you know, back away. If we're talking about a sexual experience here, we might have to back off from that sexual experience, and I might, you know, go back to like a massage or something.
I like that.
You know, to give her some time to get in that mood where she's ready.
Right. Well, another thing that you do is you engage me on a conversational level to get my mind in the place of connection and eroticism, right?
Right.
You might start talking to me, rubbing my legs and saying, how does this feel? Do you want me to use my pressure here? Can you feel, you know, all of my fingers?
Right. So it becomes more of a group experience, right?
Oh.
Than a guy just doing his thing.
And it's like you're making love to me with your voice and your hands and your whole being at the same time when you do that. Engaging me on different levels.
Different senses, yeah.
That's great.
As we know, we hear this a lot, right? Women, the more they get into the sexual experience, the more turned on they get. Whereas men might start out turned on.
Right, exactly.
But women have to, but knowing that, ooh, if I can get her past this point of resistance.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Looking good.
And yeah, that's right, guys. I love you sharing your intimate stories with us too, because I mean, it's how you guys relate to each other as, you know, partners, lovers, best friends. You know, it's really awesome because you can share what you guys have and what everybody else wants.
That's why we're hearing a lot from doing these videos of sharing how it is that we connect in sensual ways as sort of an example and make people more comfortable doing that.
Yes.
We can do it on video.
Exactly.
We are uncomfortable when we're doing it.
Right.
It helps people go, okay, this vulnerability thing is really a part of it. It's not something I should be trying to avoid.
Right, yeah. Exactly. We have, this is perfect timing because we have a Gmail here from Jeannie. And I think you guys just answered it. I think you just answered it pretty much. But she said, when my boyfriend and I fight, it takes me a while to settle down and get into, you know, feeling sexy and being close to him. But he can overcome it and shut the emotions off all of a sudden and be ready to have sex anytime. How can I get over this, or what can I say to him?
Well, maybe have him listen to this interview.
Thank you. Yeah.
That might be some great ideas.
Hey, Jeannie.
Just to talk to him. You know, my guess is that maybe she doesn't talk to him enough to tell him, hey, I'm not quite ready. What else can we do? I'm sure there's a lot of fun things that we could do to get ready.
Yeah.
Can we take a shower together? Can we go for a walk outside in nature?
Yeah.
Can we just hold each other for a few minutes?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I like the idea of visualizing letting go of any of that energy that was generated during that argument. That mm-hmm. helps me.
That's why
a shower or a walk helps, because as the air moves past me or the water moves over my skin, I can actually visualize letting go of what we would just gone through. And I think the another thing is being, like Joe said, being really upfront about it. Like, oh, I'm still kind of reeling from that. So can we just take a walk around the block and I'll let it clear my head from that, and I'll be able to get more in touch, you know, with being with you.
A lot of guys, I think, need a direct, you know, request from a woman, right? They're not always going to notice that the woman is not ready or, you know, there's something up for her. So I think, you know, be straight with your guy.
Mm-hmm.
And ask him.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's really good. And thanks, Jeannie, for being brave enough for emailing us and asking us that question. And also, you can check out their book. It's called The Soulmate Lover, A Guide to Passionate and Lasting Love, Sex, and Intimacy. They are Molly Apple and Joe Dunn. And by the way, guys, what's the best way for folks to find out more about you and get a hold of all your books, actually? Online.
So our website, The Soulmate Experience.
Uh-huh.
We're also on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube as Molly, M-A-L-I, and Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And you can contact us through any of those ways. Our books are on Amazon. They're also available anywhere else books are sold.
That's right. And they're good ones, too. They're really helpful. And these, you know, guys, you're talking to people who know their stuff. They've been relationship coaches for years. And not only that, they're lovers and best friends, so they know what they're talking about, creating relationships, being connected on all levels, emotionally, intellectually, sexually, spiritually. So this is one of the most common issues that I hear in my practice. You know, how can I find someone, or how can I be sexier, or how can I feel good about myself? And you incorporate that into your books, especially in this one. This is really, really helpful, folks. So check it out. And guys, if you'd like to email me here on the couch, if you have any more questions for Molly Apple and Joe Dunn, you can do it. StraightTalkDoc@gmail.com. Just let me know. We do have some coming in, and some we're going to pass on because they're a little too explicit. But I mean, we'll kind of work around that. I'll word it differently. Okay, guys.
All right,
guys. I know it's fun. This is internet. We don't have FCC guarding us, so we can sort of talk about what we want, which is great. Okay, so one of the most common things I also hear in my practice is, you know, just meeting people. Getting to know people. It's really hard out there in the world sometimes, no matter what age you are, because of our insecurities and how do we, you know, just sort of get it out there. So when you talk about seduction and intimacy and keeping the spark alive, we need to start meeting and dating and engaging with people to see if there's any potential for connection. So you have some great tips to help us be the best we can when presenting ourselves to others. So how can we naturally do that and get some positive responses?
I think one of the things we want to recognize is that in order to make a connection that's really going to work for us, we really have to be ourselves. And a lot of people advise against that. You know, you should put only your best foot forward. You shouldn't mention any of these things that might put people off. But one of the big problems that happens is then we're drawing people to us who truly aren't going to be attracted to the real us when it comes out.
Right.
So the more authentic we can be from the beginning, the better.
Right.
But in order to do that, we've got to have a good, healthy sense of self-esteem. So one of the very best things to do when you're looking for a partner is to be also simultaneously working on your self-esteem. There's lots of resources out there for that, including ours. Mm-hmm. But and self-esteem is really a lifelong endeavor, right? Because as we age and change, we're going to have new things we need to work on. So.
Sure, of course. That's great. No, that's a really... a wonderful way of saying it. So, and you also talk about accessing our outer and inner strengths, you know, to get more self-esteem, to get a little more comfortable with who we are and tap into our intuition. So how do we do this? Why is this so important?
Well, I think that it's super important because as you know, Molly, who studied the Chinese martial arts years ago, has come to realize a complete human being is one who has a full range of both what we call masculine and feminine energies or qualities.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're in a relationship with, let's say you're a woman and you're with a guy who he's only got the masculine, he's going to have a very difficult time connecting with you, your feminine parts.
On the emotional level?
Or that's going to be totally foreign to him.
Right, right.
So, you know, in our opinion, to be as broad range from the masculine to the feminine, to be able to access that full range is, you know, is very beneficial for a relationship.
Right. It makes us more well-rounded human beings. It gives us more opportunities to connect in different ways. So we have, in our Accessing Your Masculine and Feminine Energies chapter, we have a lot of suggestions for if you're really skewed towards one side or the other, in ways that you can come together and work on those together and individually. One of the great things about doing that, really, it's like your relationship opens up because Joe knows that, you know, if we're in a crisis situation, he knows that I've got that masculine energy that I can bring out and forth and take care of something in that way as well. And if that we're in a, you know, we've got a funeral or anything like that, he's totally there emotionally. So we're able to navigate everything together in that way. It's really cool.
That is really cool, guys, that you can do that, and you can help folks how to do that as well, because you experience it firsthand. You're not just sort of an observer. You guys are participators in the
real... And I think, you know, for guys sometimes it's difficult because, you know, they're oftentimes brought up to really focus on the masculine side. I know I was taught, you know, big boys don't cry. So crying for me was very challenging for many, many years.
Yes.
Until I got past that belief, you know, and decided to open up to my more, you know, feminine side as well.
Yeah. In psychology.
Really cool guys can cry.
That's so true. That is kind of sexy. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, they say in psychology, the people who are more androgynous, you know, have a little, you know, the balance within them of the yin yang or the male and female energy is usually someone who's a little healthier and better to adapt to relationships.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
Ancient Chinese knew that.
Yeah.
These ancient texts talk about that. That's where that phrase, being a complete human being and the yin yang symbol, inside the yin is yang. And inside the yang is yin, and in balanced harmony is where it's you are the strongest, both as a human being, a couple, and as a society.
And there's nothing wrong with trying to understand, you know, there's so many books, and you guys talk about this as well, you know, the differences between men and women, how we're sort of hardwired in the way we respond and react. But by reading these things, we can really understand, you know, how the energies are of men and women and try to incorporate a little bit more of that understanding if you're leaning one way a little, you know, more.
Understanding how much our culture and our conditioning affects, you know, and limits us.
Yes.
And what it
really
we can
does.
Be.
Yeah, it really does, especially, I mean, the social media thing, come on, that's, We do. We have to get in touch with both of our energies. And again, there's nothing wrong with looking sexy or being beautiful or wanting to live up to a beautiful image. You know, some...
Especially if we create it for ourselves.
There you go. There you go.
Right?
That's
right. Stand in front of my closet and I try on all my different clothes and I decide what looks sexy on me as opposed
right.
to going to the computer and trying to figure it out.
Right. Exactly. You have a big chapter also as well as sort of trying to turn or tune your body, but turning it into art. In other words, sort of connect with your reflection. Get good at being naked. I love that part. So what are some of the ways we can get good at being naked with ourselves? It's tough.
Gosh, you know, this is an issue for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because of whatever religion or society, family. But for those people who are not comfortable being naked,
no.
I mean, we have a lot of suggestions, you know, to maybe at one end to go into a clothing optional spa.
Right.
You know, I mean, if you're really feeling brave. But there's mm-hmm. a lot of steps that we suggest, you know, to take, you know, between here and there. You know, for instance, if you're just not comfortable being seen naked
mm-hmm.
in the light,
mm-hmm. yeah.
you know, we start in the dark and maybe we have some candles and we just, you know, sort of gradually turn up the light and we talk about our, you know, our feelings of what we're not comfortable with. And
right.
especially if we have a partner, you know, who's there to support us and work with us through some of these issues.
Right, and be able to say, you know, here's our candlelight, right? And mm-hmm. wow, I love the way your shoulders look when you're turned this direction.
Mm.
Or I love this curve of your thigh right here. And can you
mm-hmm.
see that?
Mm.
So we use a lot of mirrors in this kind of work. Can you see what I'm seeing? Let go of your preconceptions about your body's, you know, insufficient.
Yes.
And let's look at the things that look beautiful to us right now and
yes.
concentrate on those.
Yes.
And as Molly says, you can always go back to those negative beliefs tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. You can always do that. But in the now, so use a lot of mirrors. Oh, that's scary. Maybe we should.
Then just use one small, darling.
Yeah, there's a joke that my husband has. He says, we got to get that mirror that says, for him, objects appear smaller in the mirror than in real life. And I go, stop! You know, I mean, funny. It's got a lot of comedy.
Are less beautiful objects in the mirror are less beautiful than they actually are?
There you go. Exactly. I like that. Guys, in case you
just... We love the idea of you buying a very special mirror for yourself, hanging it on the wall,
yes.
and you are only allowed to look at it in a positive way. You can only
you
look
go.
At the things you like in that mirror.
That's good. That's the positive mirror.
Yeah.
That's it. You can put that mirror up wherever you need to.
Yep.
And put a little sign, stick a sign at the top, big red letters. You can
right.
only
I am beautiful in my own way.
That's it. That's exactly
yep.
right.
And if you want to go criticize yourself, you have to go use a different mirror.
That's right. But get the heck away from those as soon as you can because they're not healthy for you.
Right.
Right? I think that's the good way to do it. Guys, we're talking to some wonderful authors, lots of great books they have written about relationships and, you know, being sensual and sexual and kind of learning about yourself, getting more self-esteem. Molly Apple and Joe Dunn, their latest book, one of them is called The Soulmate Lover, A Guide to Passionate and Lasting Love, Sex, and Intimacy. And that's how we're talking today. We're talking about all the good stuff. So we talked a little bit about seduction and intimacy and keeping the spark alive, right? So what are some of the other ways that you guys suggest that we keep that spark alive? We heard from Jeannie a little earlier who wrote, you know, that she sometimes she's preoccupied with a lot of the anger she has towards her man or the fights, and she it's kind of hard for her to keep that alive, keep things going.
You know, we got to get out of our comfort zones.
Mm-hmm.
We just simply must. If we go into a relationship, a sexual relationship, and we do it pretty much the same way every time, there is just no doubt that
right.
over time our connection is going to deteriorate,
yeah.
our interest is going to deteriorate. It's just the way
yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
So, you know, we often hear suggestions for, you should have sex in different places or in different positions, but, you know, that is not nearly enough.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's not.
So we really give a ton of ideas in the new book we're writing, even more, on how to get yourself in a different space. You've just got to. And
yeah.
Whether it's, you know, indulging in a little bit of fantasy, role play, which are scary for a lot of people, and that's the point.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
To be able to do that in even a little bit can make such a huge difference. Joe and I play around with role play all the time.
Yeah,
it makes us nervous, but oh yeah. My gosh.
Sure.
There was a time, do you want to tell her about the time in the... when you came in to meet me at the restaurant and I pretended you were...
Oh, that's a good one. I want to hear about this. I want to hear about
it. So I came... Molly was at a wine bar and I came in after her and sat down and we pretended I was a gigolo, basically. You know, I was there for hire. And so our whole conversation was, you know, based on you know, that and her hiring my services. And
yeah.
It was... We just had a lot of fun with it.
Oh, my gosh, we were there for 2 hours.
You guys are hilarious.
Yes. And then a couple came and sat down next to us.
Yeah.
And they were overhearing our conversation, and they were whispering to each other.
Oh,
my
great.
Gosh, this woman hired this guy.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, my goodness, was that fun.
It's like that show, What Would You Do, right? People kind of go, oh, my God, but it's not real. I mean, but that's fun. That's really cool.
And I think, you know, that's the whole thing about what we do is Molly and I, our intention is to just have fun and to make it fun. So we're always looking for whatever we can do to make that experience fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
exactly.
And that leads into a lot of sex.
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely. It does. And, you know, I tell a lot of people, too, in my practice, it's like if people approach it so seriously, it's like, lighten up, you know, lighten up. And just have some fun.
Yeah. And the places where, you know, it is serious, where we have, you know, things in our past or we have things we're really ashamed about, those are opportunities for connection, too. And that's our chapter on sexual healing that anybody can do with their partner. You don't have to go off to a mountaintop to learn how to do this.
Right.
You can use those things as opportunities to connect.
Exactly.
And they're so great.
Right. They really,
For both people.
Yeah, they are. You talk about sexual shame. You just touched on that. You know, there are some religions, spiritual or other cultures where masturbation is still associated with shame. You know, it's sort of considered to be a positive aspect of sexuality and psychology. You know, releases tension and manages a lot of anxiety. And if you're single, you don't want to have, you know, hookups all the time, that kind of thing. So why is self-pleasure so important to helping us out?
Well, I think it's important to stay in touch with your body.
Yeah.
For one.
Yeah.
You know, to just be able to feel yourself as a sexual human being.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And especially if you're not with a partner.
And for women, I mean, our stuff is sometimes challenging to figure out, even for ourselves, if we don't spend time investigating, what does this feel like? What does that do for me?
Right.
And it changes. Our sexual response changes over time. So being familiar with ourselves, intimately familiar with ourselves, is really helpful when we're in a relationship.
Right. It's really true. And being okay with who we are, just letting go of some of the shame. And, you know, we all have shame. A lot of it starts in early adulthood, you know, when we start really feeling, maybe younger, a lot younger.
Oh, way younger.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah.
Boy, do we get messages.
Well, you know, when we're really young kids, you know, you can't do that. What are you doing? Yeah, that's true. Parents, especially earlier, you know, I think generations, I think they were a little more hung up and just worried about their kids, you know, being sexually promiscuous and getting into trouble. And I know a lot of parents do now too, come on, but it just seems like it was a little they were a little less enlightened in the earlier generation, because kind of look at what's going on out there now,
in terms of, you know.
Only kids these days have to deal with even more ideas about who they're supposed to be and what it means to be sexual, right? I mean, porn is ubiquitous, and kids get these ideas from it about, oh, sex is this, this, and this, and I'm supposed to do this, this, and this. And it's such a disservice to our kids to let them get all their education from what's online.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, exactly. And a lot of parents, again, you know, are afraid to talk about what to expect and feelings they're having, what's normal, what's going to be normal. And it's, and again, sometimes it's creepy to talk to your parents about it. But if your parents are cool, you know, we learn from our friends a lot, and we really get in trouble by that because our friends are dumb.
Michelle, I wanted to offer one suggestion for self-pleasure, something we came up with for a book that we haven't seen anywhere else.
Cool.
And for most women, and men probably too, but women more, you're in your head a lot when you're self-pleasuring. So
right.
The women we interviewed, only one out of about 30 actually masturbated without thinking about anything. So the exercise is this.
Yeah.
To try pleasuring yourself without any thought in your head and just concentrating on the sensations.
Yeah.
It's a challenge to do it, and it doesn't mean you failed if you didn't, but it gives you a different perspective on your body to touch yourself.
To only use your body, right? To only use the response you get, as opposed to an image in your head combined with the response from your body.
Mm-hmm. So people found, you know, several women found it took them quite a while to figure out how to self-pleasure while not thinking about a fantasy, and they said that when they were actually able to do it, it was just explosive.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's cool. Those really good ideas. That's awesome, guys. By the way, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch. Dr. Michelle here. My special guests, Molly Apple and Joe Dunn, the authors of The Soulmate Lover. We're talking about how to, you know, get a little sexual healing 101 right here. And take care of yourself and feel better about yourself. And we do have some emails coming in on straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Jared has written us something that, you know, I always expect an email like this because it's one of the most common things I hear. So he says, "Hey guys, great show. I'm very self-conscious about the size of my penis. I think I've lost a lot of relationships because I'm handsome, I think, but when women really get naked with me and start having sex, they're turned off. What do I do?" Ipes. Okay. Jared, I'm sorry to hear you're so focused
on that. Here's something I want to talk to Jared.
Let's tell him the real deal. Come on, Molly. Let's rock.
I'm
going to
tell
him
the real deal for me is I am very small.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I honestly have always been attracted to smaller men in that arena. Now, how do you know that when you meet them? You kind of don't.
No. You know, this whole thing about
me, and I know that there are other women like they're out there like this. And I've also heard from some people that there are some dating sites where they actually, you can be as explicit as that.
Yeah.
And then you know when you're meeting someone that they already know that you feel like you're insufficient in this department. They already know that you have that hang up or that about you.
Right.
But number one, understand what's normal, right?
Right.
So many men who think they're too small are actually average. What we see in porn is way out of the range of what's actually average for men.
Yeah.
So first of all, go out there and research what's actually average. And most men who think they're too small are actually average.
Mm-hmm.
But also understand, my gosh, for me, I have said this, and I totally live by this, that a man doesn't even have to have a penis for me to have an absolutely fabulous sexual relationship with him.
Right.
Part of the reason for that is, of course, my definition of sexuality is so much broader than, vaginal intercourse.
Right.
You know, people use sex and vaginal intercourse as though they're interchangeable concepts, and they're not at all. So,
yeah.
Starting from nothing, I'm sure you are doing, Jared, way better than nothing.
Yeah, exactly. That's really...
You really want to look for a woman for whom, number one, that isn't the most important thing, and number two, she might even have a preference for somebody who's smaller. I'm assuming that's what you meant by your size.
Yes.
If you're on the other end of it, I can't speak to that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and I can speak to Jared as well, because I'm sort of in his boat, you know. I'm in a similar situation, and I've been with women who the relationship didn't go anywhere, and I think that was part of it. And, you know, I am more on one end of the spectrum, and in those cases, the women were more on the other end of the spectrum, and it just wasn't a good fit physically.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was important to them, and so the relationships ended. I think that was probably the best thing that ever happened to me, right?
Yeah, because exactly.
Here I am in this awesome relationship where size is not an issue, and I'm as happy as can be, right? So I think that, you know, Jared, there's plenty, plenty, plenty of possibilities out there
mm-hmm.
for you.
Yeah. Those are, thank you so much for that, too. It's great to hear both of your perspectives. And, Jared, thank you for having the courage to put it out there and, you know, just sort of ask this question, because I think there are so many guys who are listening right now who are thinking the same thing, going, yes, I didn't want to write that, but really found out. I hear that all the time in my practice, you know, and it really, truly isn't as big a deal as the media makes it out to be, or as friends of friends, or, you know, it's really not, guys. Honestly, I'm telling you. And like you said, Molly and Joe, you know, you want to find a woman who really wants to be with you and is turned on by you on all aspects, and it doesn't matter. There's a lot of women, too, who don't really have orgasms with penetration. So
exactly.
It doesn't matter one way or the other.
Something around like 80%.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to do other things. You know,
you have to improvise and experiment, which
that's
is what
exactly
you should be
right.
doing anyway.
That's exactly right.
You know, I think there's probably a tendency for guys who are small,
yeah,
to put a little bit more focus on the other things. So they mm-hmm. might find that they're better orally than many other guys.
Well, right.
Know, who just rely on the size of their penis,
right?
Or think it's being effective,
right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. No, that's a great idea. Those are great, great things. So, again, Jared, thanks for emailing us here on the couch with Dr. Michelle. I just wanted to also talk about sort of sexual healing 101. You know.
Well, let's talk about it with Jordan as the example.
Yes.
If I were with him. Mm-hmm. The very first place we start when we want to help a partner heal from some idea they have about themselves mm-hmm. is to talk about what kind of thoughts do you think on a regular basis mm. about your size? Mm. What are you telling yourself? Because that you're your worst enemy in this.
Yep. Yep.
And those thoughts that you've been feeding yourself over the years have this incredible negative impact on your confidence, mm-hmm. on your ability to go out in the world and meet somebody and feel confident about, I'm a great person to get to know. I am
right.
absolutely fabulous in bed. Yeah, in this one way, if you're the one person that we don't fit together, if you're one of those people we don't fit together, yeah, we'll learn that and it'll be okay. But so if I were with him, I'd be talking to him about, I want to know, you know, what you've told yourself over the years. Number two,
yeah.
how have those thoughts made you feel?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we give ourselves these constant negative messages. I used to have this idea that my breasts weren't large enough, another typical one.
Well, that's what, gosh, well, I mean, that's a typical one of a lot of women, right?
Yes. Yeah. What do I tell myself about it? How does that make me feel? And then what does that do to the way I act in the world and
oh.
the way I interact with people?
Yeah.
So all of those things are things we can explore with a partner.
Exactly. Especially, you have someone who deeply is into you and cares, and you can express that and share that and learn. Can't you learn that that's your hang up? Not you, Molly, but I mean, that's our hang up, you know, that we have to work through and get over and know that we are beautiful.
We can do a lot. We can go a long way to healing, mm-hmm. healing these things that we've been told and society has told us and we've bought into over the years.
Boy, that's true. We sure can. So, you know, it's really true to work on ourselves. And there's a lot here in your book, The Soulmate Lover, about sexual healing, as you call it, 101. And you do. You also talk about all the different things. Healing from the past, as you said. Also, erection issues that you guys have. And attitude is everything. It doesn't matter who you are, what you look like. You know, you can get in touch with your sexuality. It's how you feel, and you've got to learn to do that. You can heal from a lot of those problems. Self-acceptance is so important, and Molly and Joe teach you about that as well, you know, having self-esteem. And there's nothing wrong with that, you know. It's just kind of healing yourself and feeling good about who you are. There's also so much research, too, on how good, healthy sexual relationships can help, you know, help your health mentally and physically. This is healing, basically, right? Yep.
There are also resources out there. There's a lot of documentaries being done on sexuality for people with different issues that are really, really positive and helpful.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
there's good stuff out there if you
good stuff.
Do search and don't stop at the bad porn.
There you
keep
go.
Keep going.
That's right. Just move on. Well, it's about that time. We're going to have to wrap up. But The Soulmate Lover is available for you guys, A Guide to Passionate and Lasting Love, Sex, and Intimacy, as well as other great books. In the soulmate experience, sort of category, they've got so many great books. Molly Apple and Joe Dunn, thank you so much for being on the couch with me today. It's been fun.
Thanks for having us, Michelle. It's been fun.
We loved it.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. Thanks for all your great books. And don't forget the soulmateexperience.com. That's the place to find your books and get more information about you. Is that the best?
And some free chapters are downloadable there.
Ooh.
As well.
Oh, that sounds great. All right, guys. Thanks so much for calling in. Always great to have you, and we'll talk again soon.
Okay. Take care.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
All right. Again, we're going to be talking about their other new book, which helps more on relationships, finding out about who you are in the world and how to find that right partner for you. All right, guys, thanks so much for listening. As always, we got to split because it's about that time. As I always say, do take care of yourself first, and then you'll be good for others. And that's the way it works in the world. You can download the show if you missed a lot of it. Of course, it'll be available tomorrow up in the archives. Thanks for listening. Have a good one. Talk to you next week. This is Dr. Michelle. Bye-bye. Fires, 1,000 watts of sound.